VCY America presents Crosstalk, a nationwide call-in program discussing issues that have an effect on our families, our communities, our churches, our nation, and our world. Crosstalk, an opportunity for you to voice your concerns for biblical principles. And now live by satellite and around the world on the internet at vcyamerica.org. Here is today's Crosstalk.
And thank you, friends, for joining us here today on Crosstalk. You may likely know that the Middle East is always a hotbed of activity, and often in the crosshairs is the nation of Israel, a nation whose landmass is about the size of New Jersey, yet her enemies continue to vow to wipe Israel off the face of the earth. And indeed, there's an escalation of anti-Semitism taking place around the globe. While this is going on, there are clashes on the Temple Mount, negotiations with Iran to go nuclear, a growing domination by nations such as Russia and Communist China. So with a focus on Israel today and the Middle East, we welcome back Dr. Jimmy DeYoung Jr. He's a speaker, teacher, Middle East guide, videographer, speaker on Prophecy Today. He lived and worked in Jerusalem for many years, a fully credentialed journalist, and has led numerous trips to Israel. And Dr. Jimmy DeYoung Jr., welcome back here to Crosstalk.
Jim, it's great to be with you again.
Let's begin with the Temple Mount, where there's been some great amounts of clashing, unrest, and violence regularly occurring. What's going on at the Temple Mount?
Well, this is the holy month of Ramadan, from April 1st to May 1st. And always during this month of Ramadan, which is a Muslim holiday, holy day for them, the control for who does what on the Temple Mount always seems to blow up. And we just passed Passover, where the Jewish people, the high holy days for the Jewish people, part of that is taking the time to go to the Temple Mount. Remember the Temple Mount, where the first and second temple stood. Second temple was destroyed in 70 AD. And then in 691, Omar came in and put up a commemorative building, really, over what used to be the location of where Herod's temple stood that was destroyed in 70 AD. Since then, it's been a place of contention. And, you know, this contention goes all the way back, really, from the very beginning. We like to think that that is the location for the Garden of Eden. Now, that's a very topic that creates a lot of controversy, but when you look at this struggle that began there in the Garden of Eden and has gone throughout all of history, and today, it's still, as Zechariah 12 says, it is a place of contention. Those people become intoxicated with the power that control the holy mountain of God. 16 times it's referred to in the scriptures, that Mount Moriah, that location where the Holy of Holies stood. And in the past, the Jewish people and Muslims believe that that's where God created Adam, the foundation stone, which was in the very threshing floor that Arnon the Jebusite sold to King David, and will be the location in the future where Jesus Christ will rule and reign from. So it's been a place of contention, and that is what's happening right now. Most of the year, it sits pretty quiet. But now Jordan is getting involved. They have been really in charge. They have the custodial rights for the Waf, the Harm al-Sharif, the Temple Mount that we call it in English. In Arabic, it's Harm al-Sharif or Al-Aqsa. Some people have known it as in Muslim and Islamic tradition. That's where Muhammad came, the furthest place from Mecca and Medina, where he entered into the heavenlies. So you could see that this is a flashpoint, really, for Judaism, which it's the number one holiest site in Judaism, and Islam, it's the third most holiest site behind Mecca and Medina. Hmm.
So you said
the control of the Temple Mount and who controls it has really been a topic of conversation of lately.
But as far as security in the Temple Mount, you're saying it's Jordan that's controlled the security?
Well, that's a good point, because now Jordan has gotten, to get up onto the Temple Mount, it's in control of Israel. The Israeli police are the ones that secure, search people, but the Muslim Waf Jordan wants more security control. They want to control who goes up there. Specifically, they're trying to cut out a lot of the religious Jews. Now, there's been this huge swell of visitors, of religious Jewish people that want to go. Not just Israelis. Now, remember, religious Judaism in the country of Israel is only about probably 25 to 30% of the population. But those numbers have a very strong feeling of what the role of the Temple Mount played in the past and what it will play today in the government of Israel and the state of Israel and in the future as, you know, the Jewish people, the religious Jews, are preparing to rebuild a temple. They've already got all the garments. They've got all the utensils that will be used in the sacrifices. Remember, this is prophesied in Scripture. This is not Ezekiel's temple, but this is a temple that will be standing during that seven-year period of tribulation.
Dr. DeYoung, the Hamas terror group, I mean, they're vowing to stop Jewish activity at this holy site at any cost, and they really mean that, at any cost.
They sure do. You know what? And really, when you start looking at Hamas, and this is, again, this is Hamas is in the Gaza Strip. It's in Ramallah. This is an organization that was really put together by Yasser Arafat that they've been the controlling. But now you also bring in Hezbollah, and Iran is getting involved, and they're supporting these proxy organizations of Hamas and Hezbollah to do battle. Really, they're supplying the missiles, the rockets, weapons, not only to the Gaza Strip area, and really it looks like there could be another war. There have been a lot of terrorist incidents where they have brought terror to the streets of Tel Aviv. I think even in the month of April, and when you were looking even in March, you had 14 people that were killed by terrorist activities in areas where terrorism wasn't really something that was seen. People felt, Israelis felt secure. Now you're seeing it being taken to these areas, and it's all over the Temple Mount.
Hmm. Hamas, which we've just talked about, they've been firing rockets at Israel, and Israel's Prime Minister Bennett is basically wondering why the UN has not denounced this. I mean, it's rather in the face of Israel, and the UN's been silent.
Yes, and we know the United Nations. You know, Jim, and I think I've told you this before, we used to have when we would see the UN cars as they drove around Israel and really around just about every European country, every Middle East country, they had the big UN on the side of the vehicles, and we would always kind of joke, UN means unnecessary.
So, yeah.
Because they really didn't play a role, and we could see it's an organization supported largely by the United States. In fact, President Donald Trump, when he was in office, wanted to take away the funding for the United Nations because they are supporting terrorist activities, terrorist organizations, countries that have terrorism at the base of what, you know, one of the tenets of what they believe. And yet they don't step in to help Israel out in these situations. They don't condemn. In fact, they condemn Israel more than they condemn the terrorists that are in the Gaza Strip or, you know, people that and look, there are Palestinians, these Arabs that live in these areas that have been living there. And Palestinians is really kind of a misnomer. The name Palestinian was resurrected by Yasser Arafat. It's been applied since the late 70s to a group of Arabs that have lived in the land. But there have been Arabs that have been coexisting with Israel, with Israelis, and really Israelis could be Jews or Arabs, people that have lived in that land. But now because of these terrorist organizations that have one political agenda, but I would even go even a bit further, it's a religious, spiritual agenda to wipe out the Jewish people.
Wow. I understand there's even clashes taking place on the Temple Mount between Muslim groups, those that want to just be there to pray Ramadan, and others who have a much more intensive agenda.
Sure. You know, you have two factions, really, of Islam, the Sunni and the Shia. Iran and all, you know, their proxies, Hezbollah, Hamas, all the terrorist organizations, the Palestinians, which are tied to that, they don't want Jewish presence. In fact, they even deny that there was even Jewish temples. They talk to the Palestinians. They talk about Herod the Edomite, descendants of Edom. Jacob and Esau, when Esau went to the mountains of Edom, he became the Edomite. They look at Herod and they say that Herod wasn't a Jew. He was an Edomite. He was a Palestinian, and he built that temple. So those were our temples. They weren't Jewish temples.
Wow.
But yet you have those, the sect of Islam that comes out of Saudi Arabia. And they're like, no, you know, Jerusalem is not even mentioned in the Quran. So Jerusalem to them is not a holy city. I think in the scriptures you can look at some various form of Jerusalem. And the holy scriptures, Old Testament, New Testament, 400 times Jerusalem is mentioned. In the Quran, it's not even mentioned once. In fact, the land of Israel is called the Holy Land, where Moses went. But it's not even referred to in the Quran. So you have factions that say, look, we don't have any problem with the Jews coming up here. We don't have any problem with the Jewish people, which is why you see the Abrahamic Accords, mm-hmm. which they are now more fearful of Iran, those countries, Saudi Arabia, United Arab Emirates, Qatar. You're looking at they're more afraid of Iran, and they want to back Israel because, of course, Israel is going to protect itself against Iran should they come up with the capability of nuclear weapons and a bomb.
Dr. Jimmy DeYoung Jr. with us here today. What is it about Ramadan that causes this escalation every year at the Temple Mount? What prompts that?
That's a great question, you know, and as you look at it, Ramadan, this was the celebration, really. This is the time that they celebrate the giving of the Quran in Arabic from heaven, from God, not the same God that we worship, but it was a made-up. Muhammad really made up, took bits of Judaism, Christianity, Bedouin Arab lifestyle, and really came up with this revelation that he received from the angel Gabriel. Well, the celebration of Ramadan is this time period where they celebrate the giving by God to Muhammad, these sayings that have been recorded. Now, the Quran is just an addition. This is more the commentaries of what, that the Muslims use today. So this celebration, this month-long celebration where they go through the process of fasting and praying all day long, and they break the fast at sundown.
Mm-hmm.
They'll eat all night. And a friend of mine, and I think he's a friend of yours, Sharam Hedian, said that, you know, during this holidays where you fast all day, they actually gain weight because they eat all night.
Yeah, yeah.
It's not much of a fast.
Mm-hmm.
But all of, when you go back through his history, Islamic conquest of lands was done during the time period of Ramadan because that's when they would whip up and get all excited about defending the sayings that were given to Muhammad.
Dr. Jimmy DeYoung Jr. with us today with a focus on Israel and the Middle East. And folks, what's going on with the Iran deal? We'll be getting into that issue after the break. You're listening to Crosstalk on the VCY America Network.
Back to Genesis with Dr. John Morris, geologist with the Institute for Creation Research. Dr. Morris, what happens to a fossil when it's buried?
Chris, a buried fossil quickly begins to decompose. It's relentlessly attacked by bacteria eating away at the organic material. Recently, however, several fossils have been discovered with the original organic material intact. Here's a couple examples. Soft dinosaur tissue was found, supposedly over 65 million years old. Elsewhere, clam fossils were found with the organic muscles holding the two shells together, supposedly 200 million years old. Now, evolutionists are committed to the millions of years idea, so they overlook this obvious evidence for rapid recent burial. Chris, it looks like a rapid burial event happened not very long ago. I think that's the great flood of Noah's day that's mentioned back in Genesis.
To learn more about creation, get our free DVD called That's a Fact. Call us at 800-628-7640 and mention the promo code FACT.
This is Crosstalk coming your way from the VCY American Network. Dr. Jimmy DeYoung Jr. with us here today and talking about, focusing on Israel, focusing on the Middle East. And we were just talking about Ramadan. And speaking of Ramadan, Jimmy, I was just on the religionofpeace.com's website as they track Islamic violence. And since Ramadan began April 1st, and as you mentioned, continues to May 1st, but since April 1st, there have been 138 terror attacks in the name of Islam, 782 people killed. And you hear those numbers say, isn't this ironic for a so-called religion of peace?
Exactly. And that's what people don't realize. And, there for sure are Muslims that it is a peaceful time. They're not the hardcore radical Muslims that have been radicalized to fight Islamic jihad, holy war, against the infidel, which we are the infidel, and against Jews.
You're talking about people who take Islam literally, right?
Yes, they are. And just about anybody, if you are a practicing Muslim, you follow the hadiths, the prayers, the pillars of Islam, then you are going to become radicalized. And that's the thing that bothers me, Jim. There are a lot of churches today that are welcoming Muslims into their churches. They're holding these a celebration, if you will, trying to be relevant, reaching out to their Muslim brothers. But it's a false religion established by a false prophet and a false god. Satan established this false religion, and people are being led astray. Billions of people. Well, I think 1.4 billion people look at themselves as Muslims.
My. Well, Dr. DeYoung, let's get to the Iran talks, this new Iran deal. What is the status? Are things broken down?
I believe they are, Jim. I don't think we're going to see, and I think when you look at the Israeli government, and I think that's who we can trust in this story, because at the end of the day, they have a red line. They know what that red line is. And that red line is that they will not suffer a catastrophic event in Israel, which would mean they would be attacked by a country that wants to wipe them off the face of the earth, which would be Iran. And Iran could do that by developing a nuclear weapon. Iran right now has about 300,000 to 400,000 rockets aimed at Israel. Should they develop a nuclear weapon, then Israel is really at a point where the red line has been drawn, and they will take care of themselves. They will not leave it to anybody else. They already have the plans in place. They have plan A, plan B, plan C, and how to go in and deal with a nuclear facility or a location where a nuclear bomb would be stored. So that, keeping that in mind, Jim, as we look at, because today it's really hard to, number one, believe it or not, to trust politicians.
Mm-hmm.
That's the day and age in which we live, because everybody wants, at the end of the day, they want their, they want to be the ones that are controlling the events. So when we look at the United States and their talks, I think they have broken down. Israel has already realized the fact that they need to be proactive. And even though the Ministry of Defense, security, the different aspects are meeting in Washington, D.C. and Vienna, you've got countries that are involved that have terrorism and are supporting terrorism. When you look at China and Russia, that are involved, in France, I mean, you've got a couple countries that are involved that are trying to come to an agreement to keep Iran from developing a weapon of mass destruction. But you have these other countries, China and Russia, that are on these boards and meeting and trying to negotiate. As a matter of fact, when we communicate, we have to talk to the Russians. And, of course, we all know what despicable deeds the Russians are doing right now in Ukraine. I think that we are really seeing, and it has been something that's been going on for a while. Russia was involved in Syria. When you look at over 400,000 people have been killed since the Syrian civil war started in 2014, I believe, 13. Russia was involved there, and now we do see what they're doing, not only in Ukraine, but they've done it in Chechnya. They've done it in Georgia. So to have these people be the moderators to secure the fact that, oh, Iran is, they mean well, they're only going to use the uranium to develop, energy needs.
Right.
It's kind of a laughing farce when you think
indeed.
About it.
Many, though, scratch their heads and just wonder, why has the Biden administration been so determined to reach a deal? I mean, why would any administration in their right mind permit an official state sponsor of terrorism like the Islamic Republic of Iran to have nuclear weapons?
Yes, it's I believe it's continuing on something that was started under the President Obama's administration. President Biden now sees this as a way to make his mark in history. I can't understand that it's just simple naivety that they think that there's got to be another system. There's got to be another thought process that is happening, because if it was just, they're not naive. In fact, the Biden administration, you know, he's got his think tank, he's got his cabinet, he's got the people that really are pulling the strings.
Yeah.
Why are they doing this? Why, for instance, John Kerry involved in the first with President Obama in the transfer of $400 million to Iran, now wants to stop all the sanctions that have really hurt Iran. And they're believing what Iran is saying. Look, we're only doing this for energy purposes. We're not building a nuclear bomb. Yeah. We are doing this to further the Iranian people.
Yeah, and I've got a bridge to sell you, too. Just last week, I mean, if that's really the purpose, I mean, Iran just held this parade last week of their new missile systems and advanced war drones, almost like, okay, here it is, Israel. And by the way, if we get that nuclear, that's what's going to be on these warheads.
Exactly. And, you know, inside Iran, we do know of Christians. We do know of people that just are trying. They just want to live.
Yeah.
But there's a radical aspect of Islam, the clerics, the muftis, even the ayatollahs. They have to prove themselves to a large majority of the people that control, and they're beholding to this Islamic thread that's run through history that wants to wipe Israel off the face of the map.
Dr. Jimmy DeYoung Jr. with us here today. And Dr. DeYoung, I saw an article from Track Persia today that just reported a man had been arrested in Iran for posting a video of himself online in clerical garb, claiming to be the 12th Shiite imam. He was announcing he was the Lord of the Ages, the promised Mahdi, the one who lived with Allah or had power from Allah. This was rather interesting to see this story come out.
Of course. Well, I think when you look back at it, and the best way that I can describe it, Jim, is that you have folks that are dealing with a first century mentality. And I don't say that, and I don't mean it in a bad way, but you have people that, you know, believe in Islamic eschatology. Just like Christianities have their view of the end times and how it's going to play out, and I would throw in Catholicism has its view of end times. There are different views of how things are going to play out. That's eschatology. Islam has its view. And if you can be that person or you can claim to be that person, there are a lot of things that person needs to do according to Islamic eschatology. And I can't even begin, because you would be, you know, it's almost laughable when you start thinking about everything that this iman is going to do when he comes to power. So, yes, they have an eschatology. They're looking at this person that would be the Islamic Messiah. And apparently some don't believe it. And so they had him arrested. And no, you're not the one. And they are waiting for the one that will fulfill the prophecies of Islam, which we know are totally contradictory. They don't resemble anything that we have as prophecies that are contained in the Word of God.
How is Russia's war against Ukraine impacting Israel?
Wow. Well, number one, there are four things that we as a ministry keep our eyes on. Aliyah, the return of the Jewish people, the anticipation for peace, the alignment of nations, and then the arrangements for a temple in the future, which will be that temple that stands during the tribulation period. Aliyah, the return of the Jewish people. God says, I will bring my people back into the land. A lot of the prophets, Joel talks about it, Amos talks about it, Micah. When you look at a return of the land, of the people to the land, and Ezekiel was told to prophesy about regathering those people. Well, you see a lot of Ukrainian Jews are returning and wanting to go away. They're going to Mexico. They're going to other countries where they are. And I think that number probably is up into the millions now. I think 3 million is the last number that I saw of refugees. A large portion of those, 300,000 plus, are Ukrainian Jews. And so you see Jewish people leaving Ukraine, going to the land of Israel. Part of a prophecy being fulfilled of the return of the Jewish people to the land of Israel. Israel's involved, for sure. I've seen reports of where they have secretly helped, and soldiers are thanking Israel for their help. They're getting involved in small ways, but you can, I would tell you through sources that Israel is watching closely of what's going on the ground in Ukraine, and they're helping behind the scenes. Where the United States took its time, Israel's been there before. As a matter of fact, and we'll probably talk about it later, the celebration, well, it's not a celebration, it's a remembrance. The Holocaust Remembrance Day just started. Israel's been there before and is always very, they have an endearing empathy for people that are being wiped out through a genocidal process. And that's what's taking place. Russia is wiping out the Ukraine people. It's a genocide process that's taking place, but they're also seeing what Russia can do militarily. So they want to be on the ground, just as they are on the ground anywhere in the world where there's an earthquake. Israel is very prone to earthquakes. As a matter of fact, one of the largest earthquakes is set to take place in the future. It happens every 150 years. Israel gets on the ground because they want to see how they can take care of their people, and they want to help others. Well, Israel's on the ground in Ukraine. They're watching. They're helping through helmets, through vests, through different weaponry, but they're there supporting the Ukraine people.
Are you seeing evidence of growing ties between Russia, Iran, and Communist China?
Oh, yes. When you look at, first of all, China has continued communism. Russia is heading back that way. They're communist comrades, brothers in arms, if you will. And China wants to see. China has its own thought process of wanting to take back Taiwan, but it's also getting involved and watching how the world is reacting to what Russia is doing.
Tell you what, let's pick up with more discussion right after the break. Dr. Jimmy DeYoung Jr. with us today. Their website, prophecytoday.com. Prophecytoday.com. We'll be back in just 1 minute. You're tuned to Crosstalk here on the VCY America Network.
Is it okay to abort a baby? People give many reasons why abortion is an acceptable choice. The inconvenience of pregnancy. Infant disabilities. It's the woman's body. It's not a baby. This is a result of rape or incest. Incompetence of parents. And she's not ready to be a parent. In the DVD, Seven Reasons, Ray Comfort addresses these seven questions, reasoning with college students and people on the street about whether such objections are justified. You will see those who are ardently pro-choice change their mind in moments. This powerful 42-minute DVD, 7 Reasons, is available for a donation of just $5, 5 copies for a donation of $18, or 10 copies for a donation of $25. Call 1-800-729-9829. Ask for the DVD, 7 Reasons.
Today, our focus is on Israel and the Middle East. With us is Dr. Jimmy DeYoung, Jr. from Prophecy Today. And Dr. DeYoung, you've got a lot of materials at prophecytoday.com.
Yes, sir. Well, continuing the ministry of my father, Dr. Jimmy DeYoung, for many years, who passed away this last August, and we just feel that need to continue on. He taught my brother and I. My brother Rick, we do the weekend radio program. We're much involved in conferences and continuing on the ministry of helping people to understand what's going to take place in the end times, why we study Bible prophecy to motivate us to live a pure, productive, holy life in an unholy world, to understand that there is a game plan. We are heading in a direction. If we don't have that, we'll lose our way. So on our website, a lot of that information, our videos and things that we produce, my brother and I produce with my father, books, and we're continuing on the ministry.
Praise the Lord for that. Prophecytoday.com is the website, and folks, jot it down, prophecytoday.com. Well, I asked you a big question here and had just seconds before the break, but it was about the ties between Russia, Iran, and Communist China. That is... they're becoming like three peas in a pod, are they not?
They sure are. And Jim, we see this in Bible prophecy. We do see an alignment of nations talked about in Ezekiel 38, Daniel 11, Psalm 83. Russia and Gog and Magog. Gog is a personality. Magog would be the group of people that left and went and lived north of the Black and Caspian Sea. That's modern-day Russia. So this is foretold, but it's really interesting now as we are watching how it's lining up. China, of course, is one of the kings out of the East. That's Revelation chapter 16. And when you see these nations, Iran, mentioned in Ezekiel 38, that's where it's talked about Persia up until 1937, was known as Persia, today is known as Iran. So these nations, by nature, as they're coming together, we understand that God is using world leaders to accomplish his will. There's a reason that this is happening. There's going to be an alignment of nations that come together. But to see it actually happening, and they're working together, Russia and China, when the United States, who is arguably number one in the world militarily, economically, as we pull out of situations like in Afghanistan, you do see China and Russia and Iran moving into those areas. When you look at what's taking place in Middle East, and now, because of decisions that America is making on oil, for instance, Saudi Arabia is looking to China and will replace the dollar as the one currency that has been used for such a long time. Mm-hmm. It could be the Chinese yuan that will be used in Saudi Arabia. So we do see that Russia is involved in the Abrahamic countries, if you will, that are a part of the Abrahamic Accord. They're involved. They're involved in Libya. They're involved in all of the nations that you see that are mentioned in the alignment of nations in Syria and Egypt. Then when you look at Saudi Arabia, that's Psalm 83. When you look at the nations of Libya, Sudan, Ethiopia, Somalia, these are all nations where Russia and China have put their efforts and monies involved in those countries. And so you see these partnerships being created, the Belt and Road Initiative that goes from China all the way to Europe. Russia, it will run through Russia. So you're seeing really these partnerships that are coming together, but that's foretold in Bible prophecy.
Friends, we could go a long time just on that issue, but I want to hit a couple more topics here before we open phone lines. And one of those that you referred to earlier, Dr. DeYoung, is the Holocaust Remembrance Day. And this year of 2022, I believe April 28th is when that unfolds.
Yes. It's the 77th year since the Holocaust took place, and it's a remembrance time on Thursday, I believe at 2 o'clock in the afternoon, if I remember correctly. But there's a siren that sounds for 2 minutes in Israel. They do this, Jim, and if you've ever been there when these moments have taken place, the siren sounds, starts to sound. It's an air raid siren that goes throughout the whole country. The country stops every vehicle, and drivers get out of their car, and they stand at attention. If you're in the streets of Jerusalem or Tel Aviv or Haifa or Tiberias or Beersheba or Eilat, the whole country stands still for 2 minutes at attention, remembering those that died in the Holocaust, the 6 million Jews that went to their death simply for being Jewish. You know, and Israel realizes, again, as I said earlier, they're not the only country that has suffered loss, but they are the ones that are not forgetting mm-hmm. what has happened
right.
in their history. Because if you forget history, you're bound to repeat it.
Yep.
And as you look at, if you go to Masada, there are Israeli soldiers that will do the hike from Jerusalem to Masada, where they will where they receive their gun and their copy of the Old Testament, and they are commissioned into the military. The overall theme of Masada is never again. Never again will take place of what took place at Masada, and that the Holocaust Remembrance Day in the Memorial Center in the city of Jerusalem, and they are around the world, people remember what took place so that they will not repeat it in the future.
And, you know, the anti-Jew hatred has not stopped, as you know, and I'd like to just also take a moment to talk about the growing anti-Semitism. I see the BDS movement, that Boycott, Divestment, and Sanctions movement growing, even with the resolution from the Middle East Studies Association. I believe also last Sunday there was a BDS rally held in Toronto, Canada. Protesters there praising the recent terrorism wave in Israel, even cheered at the news of Lebanese rocket attacks. And we're seeing increased anti-Semitic violence taking place right here in the United States of America as well.
It's increasing when you look at this. And, Jim, really the BDS movement is one of the tamer movements, if you will, as far as trying to get countries not to buy Israeli goods or to buy goods there. But the more radical movements, white supremacy, and then you start talking about neo-Nazi groups and organizations and Islam. But what's even more surprising, Jim, is that you have Christian parts of Christianity that don't understand the role that the Jews play in the future in God's program and Bible prophecy. God's not finished with the Jews. He made four promises to them, four covenants, and he's got to fulfill those covenants. But there are groups that say that the Christians have replaced the Jews in God's program. So therefore, you have churches that are getting on board with anti-Semitic, movements that are taking place in Europe, in South America, in Australia, in Far East Asia, and yes, in the United States. And that's why, I mean, Adolf Hitler, when he wanted to establish the Third Reich, the Third Kingdom, if you will, he tried to wipe out the Jewish people. Jeremiah said, yes, it's real easy to wipe out the Jewish people. All you have to do, Jeremiah 31, verses 35 to 37, is to get rid of the sun, the moon, and the stars. If you can get rid of those three, then you can wipe out the Jewish people. Well, Jim, we know that that's not going to take place. But this is a program that Satan has put in place from the very beginning, from Genesis, from the book of beginnings, that Satan's philosophy is to defeat God, to defeat the holy angels, and to defeat man. And if he can wipe out the Jewish people, guess what? He can defeat God, because God says they will always be around as long as the sun, the moon, and the stars are still in place. So we do see anti-Semitic acts that have been committed throughout all of history. When you look and you go back, and I think Prime Minister Bennett remembered throughout history the different events through history of where countries have tried to wipe out the Jews. It's not just Germany. It was Spain. You're talking about the Spanish Inquisition. You're talking about the Church of England and the Crusades. I mean, they were, I mean, this is a thought process. And unfortunately today, it's a growing movement. I think it's just a sign, a sign that we are in the end times, because this is going to increase. As a matter of fact, during that seven-year period of the tribulation, which takes place after the rapture of the church, two-thirds, according to the book of Zechariah chapter 13, two-thirds of the Jewish people are going to be wiped out, are going to be killed. So that's a larger Holocaust when you look at two-thirds of the Jews. It's a larger Holocaust of what took place in Germany. So it just shows to us the urgency of the hour in which we live, because Jesus Christ, John chapter 14, said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. There's no way to the Father except through me." And today, just as we talked about earlier, how Islam is a false religion established by a false prophet, Judaism today, they're not serving, and they're not, anything that they are doing has falls on God's deaf ears. The only thing, the first prayer that God hears from a Jew today at the Western Wall and around the world in these Jewish holidays is, "Lord, save me."
Wow.
"Lord, come in and be my God. Be your son is the true Messiah. I realize that he died on the cross." So until that happens, even Judaism today, as we are watching what's taking place, yes, we need, it shows us how we need to be urgent about telling others about Jesus Christ.
Friends, our phone number to Crosstalk is 800-733-9829, 1-800-733-9829. If you've got a question on Israel, about the Middle East, about some of the current events and matters that are going on, pick up your phone, give us a call, 800-733-9829. Again, want to remind you that the website is prophecytoday.com. That's prophecytoday.com. You'll find a number of resources, teaching videos, just lots of current news and events as it relates to Israel, available at prophecytoday.com. So you can check that out. Again, our number here to Crosstalk today is 1-800-733-9829. I saw also here very quickly that the Prime Minister of Israel, Bennett, he and his family have increased security around them. I saw an article on CBN today. He received a letter, a death threat, a live bullet sent to him. Rather troubling.
Yeah, we're not the only ones that have political problems in this country. He has his own. In fact, as the leader of the Knesset, it's a government that is has many different parties that need to come together. It's a coalition government. There are some decisions that he's making, and it could be from the religious right. It could be from the liberal left. That's a targeted position. Not only politically, but, yes, for his safety from other people around the world that would like to take him out, and from his own people, sadly to say.
Well, friends, we're going to take a quick break, and when we come back from the break, we'll take that last segment and fill it up with your phone calls here at Crosstalk. Again, write down the number is 800-733-9829. Our focus today on Israel, our focus on the Middle East. With us is Dr. Jimmy DeYoung, Jr., a speaker, a teacher, a Middle East guide, a videographer, and a speaker on Prophecy Today. Their website, prophecytoday.com. And we're back in just 1 minute here on Crosstalk.
For the Worldview Report, I'm Brandon House. Our website is worldviewreport.com. Klaus Schwab of the World Economic Forum put out his first book called The Great Reset. It should be called The Great Collapse, because it's really about how they're going to collapse the industrialized civilizations of the world. His next book that just came out is entitled The Great Narrative. That should really be called The Great Lie, because what he's stating is that what's damaging the world is the free market system. And he goes on to declare that we are on the edge of ending civilization and the world as we know it due to climate change. They used to call it global warming, But then when we had cooling cycles, they had to change the narrative to climate change. And of course, this has all been proven absolutely false. There is no such thing as man-made climate change that is so disruptive as to need to destroy the free market system. Notice what I said, man-made. It comes from the sun, largely. My friends, the great lie is we need to get rid of the free market system.
Dr. Jimmy DeYoung Jr. with us here today on Crosstalk and having a focus on Israel and the Middle East and taking your calls here at Crosstalk at 800-733-9829. We're going to begin in our home city of Milwaukee. David, you're on the air.
Thank you for taking my call, though. Lord led me to do a strong Bible concordance study when my brother was going home to the Lord and look up the word Israel. It surprised me. It was 2,563 times in our Bible, from the book of Revelation to Genesis. Is God real? He's the God of Israel. And then Paul says, "For I am not ashamed, the Jewish man who found the Lord, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, the Messiah, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first." So it's our job to reach the Jew, and that's a number one law of evangelism. Mm. If we bless Israel, God will bless us. Mm.
Thank you,
love
David.
You. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Dr. DeYoung, for God to have Israel that many times in Scripture, it must mean something to him.
They're his people. They were chosen by God. They're a peculiar people, Exodus 19 says. And when you look at the three strands of the human family, first 2,000 years of human history, you had Gentiles. The second 2,000 years of human history, you had Jews and Gentiles. And in the third 2,000 years, really, so far, you've had Gentiles, Jews, and Christians. And God has a program for each one of those people and a way for them to get to heaven.
Monticello, Kentucky. Robin, you're on the air.
Yeah, thanks for taking my call. You were talking about the Crusades, and I remember in history, in school, and in the library, I've seen books. I think twice they went down, the Crusades went twice down to the Holy Lands. Does the Arabs and the Muslims and even Europe remember that time in history? I'll take my call off.
Okay. Thank you, Robin.
Great question, Robin. Yes, and when you look at it, when you look at the Crusades, the Mamelukes came in and they defeated the Crusaders. The Crusades made trips. In fact, it was many people that were making their way from England, from Europe to England, to Israel, to liberate the Holy Land, to take retribution, judgment on the Jewish people because they blamed the Jews for crucifying Jesus. We know that Jesus Christ went to the cross. It was God's plan. But the Crusades, which were really they came from Europe, they raped and pillaged their way. A lot of people think the Crusades were good things. They were not good things. They were not good people. But sure, the Muslims conquered the Crusaders that were there. And even in the land of Israel, when you look at Caesarea, when you look at Acco, when you look at the different cities that are there, the great Battle of Saladin with the Crusaders. Saladin defeated them, and they took control of the Jewish city. So they do remember. That's why they have an issue with, for a long time. I remember I played college ball in college. Our mascot was the Crusader, and we just thought that was a good thing, you know, a Crusader on a horse with a shield with a cross on it. But in Islam, that means something bad. In Judaism, the Jews don't look highly on the Crusades. And so, you know, when you look back on history, sometimes it was people thought that they were doing a good thing, but they were misled.
Let's go to Al in Oconomowoc. You're on the air, Al.
Yes. Hey, Jimmy Jr., I'm glad to hear your voice. Two very quick questions. Number one, I had heard from what I thought was a reliable source that in addition to all of the other things you'd already stated today that are manufactured for the new temple or the upcoming temple, that Israel had already cut all the stones for the new temple and had them in storage, and I wondered if you could comment on the truth of that one way or the other. Secondly, I was fortunate enough to see your dad at a VCY rally before he went home, and I picked up four sets of his CD sets. There was one there that I didn't pick up, Back to Eden, and I wondered if that might still be available.
Okay.
Mm. Great question. Thank you. So let me get to your first question. I could take you today to the Temple Institute in the city of Jerusalem, where religious Jews have done studies on developing and making the garments for the high priest, developing the utensils, all the utensils that are used in the sacrificial process, the trumpets. They even have a mobile altar, because according to the scriptures, you only need an altar to start the temple sacrifices again. And that's what happened when the Jews came back from Babylon. They put up an altar. Of course, what did they do? They stopped building the temple and started building their own homes. And Haggai and Zephaniah, they were all encouraging the Jews to build the house of God. To the stones that you talked about. We have recorded on our video that first stone that was cut, the cornerstone to be put up on the temple that they have tried to get up every year during the libation period, the holiday. They've tried to get that cornerstone. And we have seen a lot of the stones. Now, do they have every stone cut and in place? Some say yes, some say no. I do know that years ago, they used to talk about in Indiana, the limestone quarries in Indiana, that they had the stones cut and they were going to fly them over. Well, if you've ever been to Israel, you know that there are many quarries there, and they still quarry today limestone. If they have the garments for the high priest to wear, I do believe that they have the stones that have been meticulously measured and cut and weighed out as to where they would go. I've seen the architectural plans. You can see them, Jim. Many of your people that went to Israel with us, we went to the Temple Institute. All the architectural plans are laid out there as to what that next temple will be and what it will look like. So, yes, they have a lot. Now, do they have all the stones cut? That I don't know for sure, but I know they have a lot of things.
Go ahead. We've got 5 seconds left, Jimmy. Go ahead.
Oh, the Garden of Eden video and DVD series, CD series, you can get it at our website.
Yep, indeed. It's called Return to Eden, and it's at prophecytoday.com. They also have a number that you can order. Their phone number, 423-825-6247. Thank you, Al, for the call. And Dr. DeYoung, thank you for being with us today.
My pleasure, Jim. Thank you for having me on.
Jimmy DeYoung Jr. with us here today on Crosstalk with our focus on Israel and the Middle East. God bless you, folks. Thanks for joining us today on Crosstalk.
You've been listening to Crosstalk via satellite and the Internet from VCY America. Views expressed may or may not be those of this station. For a CD of today's program, send a donation of $6 or more to VCY Tape Ministry, 3434 West Kilbourne Avenue, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, 53208, or download by RSS or podcast from crosstalkamerica.com. And join us again for Crosstalk.